Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Violet Reiki Radio. This week, I am making a wish on the three is a charm. And as you know, we started this radio program 3 weeks ago on September 21st with my inaugural show. And this is now the third broadcast. And I would like to thank the founders of the Seika Network, Sifu Restida de Jesus and Robert Deal, for giving me this wonderful opportunity to bring this show to the public, where each week we will be talking about Reiki and all things surrounding Reiki and more. Reiki is a universal life force energy. It's an intelligent energy of love and wholeness. It understands the cause of problems and what healing is necessary. Reiki energy has a wisdom of its own, healing and balancing all aspects of a person's mind, body, emotions, and spirit. Reiki is a blessing, an instantaneously conferred sacred potential for healing, protection, and spiritual development. And for further information on Reiki, you can visit my website, which is www.violetrosereiki.com, or you can send an email to me at rose@violetrosereiki.com. You can find me on Facebook as Violet Rose Reiki. I also have a page on Facebook, which is called Reiki Ward, which was formed to provide free distance Reiki healing for humans, animals, all over the world. Reiki Ward conducts 2 to 3 rounds of healing every day at a minimum. And we also place the requests given there on our healing grid for 24/7 energy work and healing. So feel free to contact and post a healing request at Reiki Ward. And for you, yourself, friends, family, whatever. Tonight's topic and discussion is going to be about the Reiki precepts and the 4 agreements made popular by Don Luis Miguel Ruiz. And the precepts, of course, I've known about since I started my Reiki journey many years ago, and they are wonderful for helping one form their life and discover guidance, spirituality, opening up their prospects, their vision for personal growth, for spiritual growth. I mean, Reiki is a wonderful healing modality. At the same time, it's an amazing tool for personal growth and spiritual growth to make one everything that is possible for them, give them the perfect potential to be better, to be who they were born to be. I discovered the Four Agreements years ago when I went through a divorce and life-altering things started happening. I had a discussion with myself one day saying, you know, this didn't happen to you. You're not a victim. You did play part in this. You took part in this. So while it's really nice and comfy and easy to blame, blame somebody else, be the victim, sit back, relax, and just do whatever is easy. You need to investigate and see what part you played in this. And I did. And I got a copy of the book, The Four Agreements, and read it voraciously. And was so surprised and so enlightened. I highly recommend this book to anyone who's going through a lot of things and situations. So we'll recap. The Reiki principles are, just for today, do not worry. Just for today, do not anger. Just for today, honor your parents, teachers, and elders. Just for today, earn your living honestly. Just for today, show gratitude to everything. So those are the Reiki principles, the Reiki precepts, and we as Reiki practitioners recite these daily, meditate on them, and use these to help us form and guide our lives. Now, the Four Agreements I'll go over briefly, tell you which each one is. The Four Agreements are simply, and they are simple. They're simple in their words, very difficult to carry out and live. First agreement is be impeccable with your word, which basically means watch everything that comes out of your mouth. And it's really, really hard to do. Second, don't take anything personally. And we all seem to do that a lot. We get offended, we get defensive, and all kinds of crazy emotional, psychological stuff happens. Don't make assumptions. Assumptions is the third agreement. And the fourth is always do your best. So I noticed there's a definite correlation with the five precepts and the four agreements, both giving us nine pointers or pieces of advice in how to live a better life. Now, I'm going to put some of the agreements with the precepts. Let's see how this goes. The first precept is just for today, do not anger. Anger is a destructive emotion, which we express a lot of times to the people closest to us, and it usually hurts us as much as them. Anger is tied to expectations about what we believe should or shouldn't happen, or maybe a response to something in the past. Choosing to express anger is a conscious choice. We can choose not to be angry. You know, count to 10, don't blow up immediately, just count and choose to let it go. Don't be angry. Usually we'll say, you made me angry, but in reality, it's we who do choose to be angry. Same as we choose to be hurt or whatever. And now, if you look at over at the precepts, just for that, if you look over to the agreements, for this one precept, do not anger, I see personally, there are three of them here. Be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. And don't make assumptions. Because those three things could cause anger. If you say something, express words that are less than kind at someone, well, you're angry. You're going to make the other person angry. And that's going to bring up a bunch of anger. Don't take anything personally. How many times have we taken something personally and at the same time gotten very angry about it and even gotten into a fight with someone about something we took personally that in reality had nothing to do with us? Next agreement, don't make assumptions. How many times have we taken something personally because we assumed it had to do with us? And it didn't. And then we went off on a tirade of all kinds of negative words and things. So those three agreements tie in very nicely with the just for today, do not anger. And if you just apply those agreements to that one precept, I guarantee you, you will see your life changing and making changes. The now that we've applied those three, I'm going to give you the fourth agreement, which is always do your best. And to me, that is very much akin to the precept, honor your parents, teachers, and elders, and the other precept, earn your living honestly. We will go back to the precepts and just going to run down the agreements and what each one means so y'all know what I'm talking about. Be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or gossip about others. Use the power of your word in a direction of truth and love. Impeccable means without sin. And sin is something you do or believe that goes against yourself. It means not speaking against yourself to yourself or to others. It means rejecting yourself. To be impeccable means to take responsibility for yourself, to not participate in the blame game. Regarding the word, the rules of action, reaction apply. When you put out energetically, what this will return to you. Proper use of the word creates proper use of energy. Putting out love and gratitude perpetuates the same in the universe. The converse is also true. Impeccability starts at home. Be impeccable with yourself, and that will reflect in your life and your relationships with others. This agreement can help change thousands of other agreements, especially ones that create fear instead of love. Next agreement, don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. We like to think it, but really, it's in reality, no. What others say and do is a projection of their own dream. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. We take things personally when we agree with what others have said. If we didn't agree, the things that others would say would not affect us emotionally. If we did not care about what others think about us, their words or behavior could not affect us. Even if someone yells at you, gossips about you, harms you or yours, it's still not about you. Their actions and words are based on what they believe in their personal dream. Our personal book of law and belief system makes us feel safe. When people have beliefs that are different from our own, we get scared. We defend ourselves and impose our point of view on others. If someone gets angry with us, it is because our belief system is challenging their belief system, and they get scared. They need to defend their point of view. Why become angry, create conflict, and expend energy arguing when you are aware of this? The next agreement is don't make assumptions. Find the courage to ask questions and express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstanding, sadness, and drama. With just this one agreement, you can completely transform your life. Now, as an aside to this agreement, I'll continue the rest of the meaning of this agreement. I must say that still too many people, whether it's from fear or whether it's from cowardice or not wanting to be misunderstood or stubbornness or whatever it is, too many people still do not know how to communicate, do not release and look to communicate. And I don't care, no matter how afraid, scared to open your mouth and communicate you may be, try it. It's the best practice in the world. I've known marriages dissolve because one of the partners or both just could not communicate. Relationships, business relationships, friendships. Too many things are destroyed and damaged and dissolved because we fear communicating. And it's really something that needs to be embraced. Worst case scenario, you communicate, you still don't agree, you walk separate ways. You agree to disagree or you agree to dissolve the relationship or whatever it is. Best case scenario, you communicate and each party says, oh, I didn't know that's what it was, because they either took something personally, they weren't impeccable with their word, it wasn't processed correctly. And if they had gone on without communicating, they both are at a loss anyway, because the relationship, whatever it may be, is destroyed because no one's talking. So when we make assumptions, it's because we believe we know what others are thinking and feeling. We believe we know their point of view and their dream. We forget that our beliefs are just our point of view based on our belief system and personal experiences and have nothing to do with what others think and feel. We make the assumption that everybody judges us, abuses us, victimizes us, and blames us the way we do ourselves. As a result, we reject ourselves before others have the chance to reject us. When we think this way, it becomes difficult to be ourselves in the world. And another aside is, I subscribe to the saying, those who do not respect others have no respect for themselves. A lot of times, many people treat others badly and don't respect them because the deep-rooted issue there is they have no respect for themselves, sadly. Low self-esteem. Maybe they were abused when they were children. Maybe they were always put down. Maybe they were put down in relationships. Maybe they're put down by so-called friends. Maybe they've been put down by employers, teachers, whoever. And because they've always been put down and have had that, they're in a very bad place. And again, I don't want to sound like the cliche queen, but there's that other saying that I've seen, those who hurt, hurt others. Because they're in pain. They're actually in pain. They are hurting. And they're not enlightened, and they don't realize that because they're hurting other people. Carrying on with the precept, take action and be clear to others about what you want or do not want. Do not gossip and make assumptions about things others tell you. Respect other points of view and avoid arguing just to be right. Respect yourself and be honest with yourself. Stop expecting people around you to know what is in your head. I'm going to take a call, and then we'll go on to the fourth agreement. 718, you're on the air.
Hey, Rose. I just enjoy your show very much, and I love that you're talking about the acknowledgement and the principles that you're speaking about. They really hit home, and I just want to wish you all the best with your radio program and
thank
keep
you
up the good work. And you really made some really good points. I had a hard time trying to get on through the computer, but I got you via telephone. So I'm going to continue to listen, and I'm enjoying the show immensely. Keep
I'm
up the
so
good work.
I'm so happy. Thanks a lot, Joseph. I love hearing from you every week.
I love hearing from you, too. I just have a hard time. You know, I'm computer, not so savvy. So I try on the computer, but I got you by phone. So that was great. It was great. Divine providence. At least I got to hear the program.
Well,
so continue on, and I'll be listening.
Yeah, it's a good thing you can get us by phone. You could always get us by phone. Not everyone has a computer. So, and for everyone who's listening, the call-in number here is area code 347-677-0699. Please feel free to call in and have a chat with me and anyone else who'd like to call in. It would be lovely to have a group chat, but I'm hopeful that we're going to get there in the following weeks. Thanks a lot for calling, Joseph.
Okay, Rose. Keep up the good work. I'm enjoying it. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is one of my best Reiki students, Joseph. So I'm going to take a quick break and then we'll come back with the fourth agreement.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
This is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics, or RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Eddie Morales from Kicking It Old School on KCAA 1050 AM. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to the martial arts event of the year, the Masters Hall of Fame, on Saturday, June 22nd, 2013, at the Orange County Hilton, located in Costa Mesa, California. This year's theme is Women in the Martial Arts. Our guest speaker will be Lisa the Black Widow King. We will be honoring many legends in the martial arts. Join Dan and I from Kicking It Old School at the Masters Hall of Fame, Saturday, June 22nd, 2013. Get your tickets now at MastersHallOfFame.org.
And now, on with the show.
Hello, everybody. I'm back. And now on to the fourth agreement. Always do your best. Your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you are healthy as opposed to sick. Under any circumstance, simply do your best and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. Doing your best means enjoying the action without expecting a reward. The pleasure comes from doing what you like in life and having fun, not from how much you get paid. Enjoy the path traveled and the destination will take care of itself. Living in the moment and releasing the past helps us to do the best we can in the moment. It allows us to be fully alive right now, enjoying what is present, not worrying about the past or the future. Have patience with yourself. Take action. Practice forgiveness. If you do your best always, transformation will happen as a matter of course. To that I say, love yourself. Forgive yourself. And that also will help. We have, let's see. Good evening, Lorinda. How are you?
I'm very well, Rose. How are you?
I'm great. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you as well. I got all my computer bugs all sorted out, and I'm here.
And before the retrograde. Yay!
Yay. Exactly. Yeah, the topic that you picked for today is a wonderful topic because It is so very true that we need to focus on some of these things, like, you know, the first one being to be impeccable with your word, because as a Reiki practitioner, we have to speak the truth. We cannot make false promises to our clients. We can't make false promises to ourselves, because that wouldn't serve us very well at all.
Exactly.
And it just goes forward from there, because if people think that you are not talking to them in an appropriate fashion, they will not come back to you. They will not refer people, and you will not have a successful practice or business. That's for sure.
You know, I find that almost innately, people seem to sense, and whether or not they choose to believe it or not, but I know the sense is there. People seem to sense when somebody is talking, for lack of a better term, BS, when people are lying to them, when people are being unauthentic, when people are kind of pushing something that just isn't quite right, almost like a salesman selling you a product. He wouldn't use himself, but he's going to hard sell you on this because it's going to make him money. And people
right.
just kind of get a sense, and they're like, no. People respect and honor and embrace authenticity.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like last week we had Dr. Steinberg on, and he kept saying to me, well, you're patient. And I kept saying, no, doctor, I don't have patience.
No.
I have clients.
That's right. Yeah, and I mean, for folks in the medical field, they understand us, but they really don't understand how we as holistic practitioners cannot say those words.
Right.
Because that opens up a whole can of worms that we just don't want to get involved with.
Right. And when I hear, you know, fellow Reiki practitioners going, you know, my patients, and my eyes open up about 10 times the size, and all I see is Ego.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're co-facilitators. I mean, not in a bad way, not like a codependency or anything, but we are co-creators in our clients' wellness pattern. And
exactly.
It's a dance, a very fine dance that we do with one another with feedback back and forth. Not because we need that feedback to satiate our egos, but to make sure that the client is getting what they need, to make sure that we have heard them correctly, to make sure that we've answered their questions should they have some. So there's a whole lot of things that happen in a therapeutic relationship that isn't always covered in a student-teacher class.
Right. Yes, it's amazing. Lorinda, I know you're up in Canada. Why don't you tell my listeners where you could be found and what your website is?
Oh, okay, sure. Thank you for that opportunity.
You're welcome.
My website is called ihwreiki.com, and the abbreviation stands for Integrative Healthcare with Reiki, or Integrative Healing with Reiki. And that is one of the things that I'm actively working on, trying to get Reiki established in my local hospice up here in Canada in Barrie, Ontario. And also working on a proposal to try and get Reiki into the palliative care ward at our local hospital, which is called Royal Victoria.
Well, I wish you much luck and success with that. I had attempted to get 5 hospitals out here in Long Island in Nassau County on board with, sending them proposals for Reiki healing, bringing volunteer Reiki healing into the hospital, and did not hear back from one of them. I revisited my mailing to them a second time and not even the courtesy of a reply or something.
It's very true. It's very frustrating. I mean, I've been a member of our local hospice for almost 10 years, and I started working with them doing Reiki with a small support group that they had, and there were other complementary therapists offering in-home service to this support group. And what happened was is that when hospice decided to go into a institutional kind of setting and create their own space, all the practitioners were told that they had to have their own liability insurance in order to practice. So everybody who was already a volunteer thought, no way, I'm not spending $200 to $300 to have liability insurance in order to volunteer for you folks. That's bogus. They chose not to do that, and I, because I have liability insurance, I was the only one who was able to allow in.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it is in hospice. We've just accepted our second person to offer Reiki not only within the residents but also in the community, so that's exciting.
That's great.
Thank you. The next step is getting it into the hospital. And I just found out, because we are a little backward up here, that our local hospital just last winter, decided on a complementary therapies policy. So up until last year, there was no policy.
That's good. Yeah, I just received a call from a prospective client who asked if I took insurance. And I said, no, Reiki, we're not there yet. I think some insurance plans here do accept, they'll pay for massage therapy, but not Reiki.
Well, some of them are starting to. It just depends on what carrier you have. And I know that some nurses have been able to dovetail Reiki into some of the other services they do provide.
Right.
So, but I don't know how many classifications there are for energy therapy.
Right. Well, slowly but surely, we've come a long way over the last 10, 15 years. And, I think all of us as practitioners are putting out the energy and sending the Reiki to keep it going, keep it growing, and sooner or later we'll be accepted. I mean, we're making really good strides as it is, but you know, it could be a little quicker, but patience is a virtue.
Oh, yes, I'm well aware of the patience is a virtue. I totally. Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other agreement that you sort of touched on was the fourth one, always do your best.
Yes.
And
yes.
That one rings really true for Native Japanese folks as well as everybody else on the planet, simply because if you try your best, you're focused in the moment, you're in the now, you are not taking things personally, you are just doing the best you can, and there's no competition. And
exactly.
I think that's a wonderful thing that we have to keep in the forefronts of our frontal lobes, is that it is not a competition. You just do the best you can, and nobody can fault you for that.
Right. And that always do your best agreement, to me, ties in so well with precept 3, 4, 5. Honor your parents, teachers, elders. Earn your living honestly. Show gratitude to every living thing. I mean, in each one of those situations, you must do your best. And really, if you're doing your best, there is no ego, because like you said, you're so focused in the moment of doing your best. You can't be doing your best and patting yourself on the back all at the same time.
No, at least I can't anyway.
Yeah, I can't either. And it's like, you know, so many people, there's such, what I liked about the Four Agreements was, he tells you, he starts off, I love this man, he starts off in the beginning saying, you're living in a dream. You were taught and you were told about this dream that doesn't exist. It's somebody else's dream. They're living it and they're passing it on to you. You make your own dream. Set yourself free. Because we're also passed on a whole bunch of guilt. And you know, well, how are we going to do our best, because we never feel like our best is good enough, because our parents, teachers, elders, whoever, you know, sometimes, and people say, oh, you're going to blame them. I'm like, no, there's no blame associated. It's just something that has happened. It's something that has just been going on for thousands of years, whereas maybe somebody thought to get you to do your best, they had to insult you, or they had to dare you, or they had to do whatever they did to you that really came across as something negative. And now here you are with all this guilt, and you feel like you can never do your best. Nothing you do is your best. So what do? You get depressed, you give up, and that has a whole snowball effect of negative, you know, nasty repercussions.
Yes.
And if you just remind yourself, well, I'm just going to do my best, and my best is acceptable, and it is what it is, period.
It is. You know. And that is also another empowering phrase that I was told. It is what it is.
Right.
Because that absolves a whole lot of silly nonsense.
Right.
You look at the situation, and I mean, it ties in with the agreements very well, I think. You look at the situation, you don't put a value statement on it, you don't attach an emotion to it, you don't judge it, you look at it for what it is. Oh, there's a glass of water on the kitchen table. That's it.
That's it.
You know, right. It's a glass of water and it's sitting on the kitchen table. You have no idea if it's too hot, too cold, lukewarm, you know, the whole Goldilocks routine. You have no idea if any of that is involved. It's just a glass with water on a table. And if we can look at various situations in our life exactly in that manner, we're in the moment, we see, there's a glass, it's on the table, and it's got water in it.
Right, right. It's just like the people find, I'll love you if you love me, or I'll love you if you give me this, I'll love you if you'll do this to me. Why can't we just love each other just to give the love, just to have the love flow from us, from our heart, from our being, to everyone that we share and inhabit this planet Earth with? Why can't we just do that? Everybody's got some kind of expectation.
Exactly. That's because we're not taught that way.
Exactly, which leads to disappointment. And we're not taught that way because we're taught somebody else's dream.
That's right. It's somebody else's dream, and it started, you know, way back. Everybody was pretty much equal when we were the hunter-gatherers, my understanding. And then when we started having city-states, that's when we started having a hierarchy. And when you have a hierarchy, the only way that you can control is somebody's got to be on top, somebody's on the bottom, and everybody's fighting in the middle.
Exactly. Exactly. People get a kick out of when I say that. I don't think I've watched the news in 13 years. I haven't listened to any kind of news talk radio stuff same amount of years. I'm still here. I'm doing well because I decided way back then that I will not have that kind of media hype, push negativity, and again, sales, pushing manipulation, more so the negativity put upon me. I didn't want it. And I figured, you know, kind of like fatalistic, if they're going to push the button and we're going to blow up tomorrow, nothing knowing about it isn't going to change it any.
No.
And I do gather what I gather from the different, social media stuff or going on to Google or going on to MSN. I mean, I do see certain things that are happening. I might not have the up-to-the-minute gossip, but I'm doing okay.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I used to watch news 2 times a day, once at 6 o'clock dinner time and once at 11 o'clock before bed. And at one point, there was a crisis in the world, and about 3 days after this crisis happened, I had a meltdown, and people were saying, Lorinda, are you okay? And I said, no, yeah, I'm fine. And I was very angry and very defensive about it. And they said, because you're not singing like your own natural, happy, joyful self. And I said, well, people stop asking me what's the matter. I'm fine. And then finally I did, once I had expressed that, I realized, no, I'm not fine. And I had to give myself a timeout and figure out, okay, where is this coming from? And it was me being emotionally attached, and I had the attached to the outcome of this event. And when I recognized that, I did a whole big cry thing to release that, which I'm prone to do on a given occasion. And then it disappeared, and I was back to my normal self. So ever since that event, I had to. It was basically preservation for myself.
Uh-huh.
So I had to get off the TV and stop watching the news.
Well, I think cry therapy is one of the best. I mean, there have been a couple of times in my life, I always prided myself on the fact that no one had ever seen me cry. I was a really tough, strong woman and wouldn't cry at all. And then one day I was like, are you out of your mind? So, and I just let it go. And there are certain times where you really just need to let it out. I mean, big, huge grief, groaning, sobbing, noise-making, primal crying, and it just releases. It's so cathartic. You need that every once in a while.
You do. But, you really do, because it can build up and it can cause ailments in the body.
And again, there's nothing wrong with, we're taught, don't cry. Men are taught this more so than women. It's really drummed into their head. Don't cry. And I don't really think I'd want to be with a man who couldn't cry. To me, I'm going, well, there's something really wrong here. But, you have to. You've got to have some form of release. And it's within that release that you find healing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, no. And again, it's, we're taught this and don't do this and don't do that. And, there comes a time in your life where you have to strike out and say, well, what if I did this? Maybe I should do this. And I think that's also when if you can get to the point where you do some meditation and you do some spiritual form of work or whatever, you work with spiritual practices. I know a lot of my students I don't know how to meditate. And I said, okay, this is a really simple way to meditate. You don't have to sit cross-legged on the floor and be all dressed up in guru garb. And this is very simple. You're going to breathe in as deeply as you can slowly. And you're going to focus on the breath going into your lungs. Very slow, very deep. And then you're going to exhale very slowly and completely. Get all the air out of your lungs. And you're going to repeat that as many times as you can. And I'm going to tell you that you will, your mind will drift. You'll maybe start to pull in half a breath and your brain, you'll be all over the place. Don't give up. Go back to the breath and just keep repeating it. And they look at me like I've just sprouted 10 heads. Because not all involved, and there's not a whole big, you know, dialogue to go along with it, and colors and things and stuff. And then they'll go away and they'll try it, and I'll get an email or a phone call. I'm like, you know, I've been doing that. That ain't working.
Yes. Yes. I'm well aware that I've talked to people about meditation as well, and I say, you know what, don't set yourself up for failure. You know, like you said, you don't have to do the whole 20 minutes, 45 minutes. Just try 1 minute.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, whether that's sitting on the throne in the bathroom, take 1 minute and just sit there and try and not let thoughts come in. And if they do, just recognize them. Oh, there's a thought. Move on. Like
next. Exactly. Exactly. You know, people want to be the best right out the gate. You know,
yes.
And it's like, no, start small. Keep it simple. Just simplify. And, you know, and I keep hearing so much about that today, too. Like, you know, simplify. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't make everything a project. Just simplify. The simpler your life is, and it's so true, and so few people believe this and ascribe to it as yet, but the simpler you make your life, the happier you'll be.
Oh, exactly. And I think the reason why people don't necessarily understand it so much is because how could anything that simple, just like Reiki, be so powerful?
Exactly. We don't understand it.
No, no, exactly. You don't need all the bells and whistles, and you don't have to dress up in flowing robes. You don't have to wear white. You don't have to do a whole lot of silly things. You just have to be present.
Right. I mean, I learned how to simplify a long time ago. I've lost everything in my life twice. First, when my brothers sold my mom's house out from under me, I lost everything that was still in the house or what. Just it all went bye.
Mm-hmm.
So that was number one. And then I lost everything again 3 years ago. Actually, tonight, this evening, is the third year anniversary of the fire at my house. Wow. I didn't realize that until this moment. I guess that's why I'm talking about it. I've lost everything then, too. And I got to the point where nothing that's material means anything to me. Yes, I need clothes. I need furniture. I need a roof over my head, et cetera, et cetera. But when I was in my 20s, I was so materialistic. I wanted, you know, I had a very good job. I had the best of everything, designer clothes, shoes, et cetera, going to expensive salons. I mean, the whole thing. I bought into the whole bigger, better quality, designers, pricey. You got to, you know, this has to be X amount of dollars. Otherwise, it's not good. I have to tell you, when I reached the point in my life where none of that matters, I mean, 3 years ago, the day after the fire, I called a friend of mine and I said to him, it was 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday or 8:30 on a Sunday morning, and I was sitting outside the local Kmart, and I said, well, I just bought my new fall winter wardrobe from Kmart. Ask me if I give a damn. And he said, I know you don't.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I need clothes. Kmart sells clothes. Okay. You know, no, I didn't stop at Gucci and Ferragamo and, you know, what's that? I don't even know. J. Crew.
Yes.
I don't know.
No.
And I don't care because
I
have such peace.
Yep, it's true. I used to buy Town and Country magazine because I thought that's where I wanted my life to go to.
Uh-huh.
And I did that for a number of years. And I mean, the disparity between, okay, I'm looking at what I have in my wee apartment with my homemade couch. And I'm looking in the magazine, going cars, the big house, and the antebellum front porch, and the cars, and the everything. And I'm looking at, there's really not, it's not the same. And I'm not feeling happy about me because it's not happening for me. So you have to put it away.
Yep. Yep. It's like, you know, to me, the biggest thing, like during my, the biggest thing I wanted was peace of mind. I just wanted peace of mind. I would have given anything for peace of mind. And to me, I have come to the conclusion that peace of mind is the most important thing. You know, you have control over, well, you have control over everything. But the thing is, love is nice. Love is wonderful. And I think the first and foremost we all need to realize is that we need to love ourselves.
Exactly.
If you're having a problem, you know, loving yourself, then you have to think about what you call God or goddess or Krishna or Buddha or whatever. You have to think of that divine source. I call it divine source or source. And really try and make the connection with the divine. And I'm telling you, I did this many years ago and felt that connection. It is such a palpable, powerful connection, energy running through your body that there's no way you cannot not feel it. And when you make that connection and you say, wow, this divine source of energy loves me. This where I come from. I'm plugging into home. This source from which I come and this energy which is continually bathing me in my aura and my life loves me. I can feel the love. Then you like, oh, I can love me because I know that this source loves me. Then you've locked into a really good place. When you have that self-love and when you have that self-respect, then, you know, the only thing you want is the peace of mind. And that helps you go on to get your peace of mind because you're no longer in a place going, I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, you know, and all the rest that goes along with that.
Exactly.
So, and again, Lorinda, it's such a simple concept.
It is.
That people are like, but I don't get it. There's got to be more to it. And, you know, there are a lot of people making a lot of money off of these poor people who just can't see the simplicity of it. And they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on courses and CDs and seminars and workshops telling you how to be, you know, I can make you be what you want to be. It's like, yeah, well, you can make yourself be what you want to be. And here's the, like, you know, here's a couple of very simple tips.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I remember one time I was doing meditation and I was doing a world meditation time. And it was a James Twyman peace meditation. And so wherever you were, in your own time zone at 6 o'clock, you sat down, you did this meditation for about a half an hour, and everything was fine. So I set up my living room. My husband was going to be with me to do this. It was wonderful. The kids were quiet. They had a movie. It was going to be fantastic. We set up, I put out some candles, and the candles were doing something funny. So I thought, well, I'll just grab the little candle glass, and I will swirl the wax around so that the flame doesn't go out. Never in a million years did I think thin glass, thumb right next to candle wax. Candle wax is hot. I burn my finger. So the next thing I'm thinking, oh, great. I'm now supposed to do this quiet, loving meditation for the whole world and myself included, and all I can feel is my thumb throbbing. So I get an ice pack. Yeah, I get an ice pack. I'm sitting there, and I do it. And then I thought, well, before I go to bed, I want to do my nightly meditation. So I sit down, and I'm thinking, oh, spirit, essence, source, divine creation, take this pain away. And it started to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to come back. And I said, no, no, I'm serious. Take it away. And it went away, finally. And I thought, that's when you have, like you said, that you know you're connected. And
yep.
That was both empowering and a little bit on the scary side.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, wow, I really am connected, that connected. I need to be mindful of what I ask for.
Right.
So
right.
That steps into a whole new level of responsibility.
Right. And, you know, we're not taught this because, again, organized religion, which I'm sure most of us have belonged to at one point or another, they would have no power over you if you realized that you could actually connect God to source, to divine, you know, on your own.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd all be out of business. What would the Vatican do?
I know.
You know, and others. I mean, really, it's like, where would these people find jobs? Where would they get money? What would happen? You know, you're going out and you're telling these poor people, you know, who are your benefactors, so to speak. Oh, you could connect with God and source. Just ask. Just, you know, and again, simplicity. Ask and ye shall receive. Yes, yeah. Ask and ye shall be connected.
Yes, definitely.
But no, we can't tell them that. Then they wouldn't come to us. Then, oh, you know. And it all revolves around the almighty dollar coin, gold, money. It's all
yep.
about money.
Yep.
You know, and totally. The sooner we all realize that, you know, we really should treat money as something that is a source that's needed for the basics, for your necessities. It would be nice to have a little fund, you know, some money for fun,
yes.
travel, whatever, you know, so you're not just, you know, living like a rat on a treadmill every day, but not to let the money consume you, not to say, I need to have X amount of dollars. I need to have a job that pays me six figures a year. I need all this stuff. You really don't. I mean, need versus want, you know, we all need to have nice, long discussions and chats with ourselves and say, you really need this? You really want it? What's the deal?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
What is a need? I mean, you look at the need of a North American person, let's say, and you look at the need of somebody in sub-Saharan Africa, and I'm sure your list would be a whole lot different.
Oh, definitely.
You
definitely.
Know, they're quite happy to have a stick and playing with a tire rim in running up and down a road, or using a whole bunch of plastic bags all mashed up to make themselves look like a soccer ball, and they're
mm-hmm.
happier than anybody on this side of the planet.
Exactly.
We've forgotten all that.
Exactly, because we are told, we are indoctrinated, we are pushed, again, through the media, through sales, through all these... everybody else's dream, that this is where we need to be. And so many people have trouble talking to themselves. Most people just, you know, don't want to be alone with themselves, let alone have discussions with themselves. And then there's the other group who just will not look in the mirror and have a straight talk with themselves because they're afraid of what they might see. So many nuances with this. And, you know, I'm afraid to see myself. Why? And then you go back, well, because I was told. And it's just, you know, it's an amazing domino effect. But I feel that if you really want to be your best, and if you really want to do your best, then you will keep searching, and you will have, you know, come to that discussion with yourself and that aha moment. Because as Reiki practitioners, you know, sometimes people will... we're all guilty of not taking care of ourselves because we're always thinking, well, I have to help this person, that person, the other person. And as we are not really 100%, we may be running on 95%, 90%, 85% because we have to help, we have to go. And a lot of times it's not, people would say, well, that's your ego. No, a lot of times it's not the ego. It's like, you know, you have such compassion that you want to help as many as you can. But I always say to fellow practitioners, you know what, if you're not feeling like you're 100% and if you're not feeling that you can do this, don't. Take some time to do.
Yes.
It's not being selfish because you can't help anyone unless you're 100% yourself.
Right.
So I was just reminded we have 90 seconds left of the show. And what I'm going to do is I think we'll revisit this topic next week because it was really a great topic. And I enjoyed so much having you call in, Lorinda. And I think we owe this another show.
Sure. Why not? Thank you for your time.
Thank you, too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was great. As Lorinda said, this was a really interesting topic, and this has been on my mind, and I love bringing it to you all. Some people in the chat room had said they enjoy the show, so this is really a winner topic. So I think we're going to revisit thoroughly and finish, because we did not finish the other Reiki precepts in connection with the four agreements. And I hope to see you all and speak to you all next week. Lots of love, light, and healing your way. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.